Helping children make friends. Can parents help a child make friends? Or is that a natural skill that just some kids have it and some kids don't? Well, we know that some kids definitely have it and don't need any parental help. They may be very popular right from preschool all the way through high school and beyond. They just know how to do it, and nobody ever had to sit down with them and tell them what to do. And we do know that a lot of children seem exactly the opposite. They don't know how to make friends. And most children, let's say, are somewhere in the middle, where they know well enough in order to have a couple of friends, and they're not hugely popular, and they're not hugely isolated either. Those children, the middle group, don't usually come to our attention so much because they're not having a big problem. The ones that come to parental attention are the ones that are looking sad or actually saying that they're sad because they don't have any friends. So we're going to see, you know, is there something the parent can do? What can the parent do to help that group who is suffering? And I want to mention also that not all children who don't have friends, or not all of those kids, are suffering. And parents need to distinguish whose problem is this really. Is the problem the parents, belonging to the parents, because it is the mother or the father that feels that the child should have more friends? Or is this the child's problem because the child is complaining that he or she doesn't have enough friends? You know, the parents themselves may be very social people and feel that a large social network is essential to one's happiness. And they may therefore want their children, all of their children, to build such networks. Meanwhile, they may have a kid who is really content to be at home entertaining himself on the computer with books, with hobbies and activities. And this child isn't interested in putting his attention outside the home on other people. He may not be interested in the activities that occur outside the home, like sports or organized social activities of different kinds. There's such a thing as a homebody. And whether your child is a girl or a boy who likes to be at home doing home-type things, lounging around in pajamas on a weekend, just staying at home with the family, playing with the other kids in the family, being busy in the kitchen creatively, whatever, if the child is like that and not suffering from lack of outside friendships or not complaining and not looking unhappy about it, then this isn't a problem that the child has. And there's no need really for parents to create a problem in that case, because the homebody type child will usually remain that way throughout his or her life, a person who can be comfortable being alone, comfortable, and not only comfortable, but even happy, quite satisfied and fulfilled. A lot of people they love themselves. They just love being at home with themselves, in learning, enjoying, creating, just enjoying their own company. And, you know, most people do have to deal with other people during the day, during each week, by going to school, by going to work, by raising a family. There's lots of forced social contact that everybody has. And in the downtime or the off time, one's personal time, some people, including children, will prefer to enjoy their own company. And they are not suffering, really, from loneliness or a lack of friends. Now, we might want to teach children, even this group of people, the people who are quite happy being alone, that it is important to have somewhat of a social safety net. It's not healthy for people to be completely isolated. So even if there is a child who is pretty self-sufficient and can occupy herself for hours on end with no need for outside contact, we still want that child to know that she needs to put a little bit of effort into building a friendship or two. The reason for that is we're not meant to be self-sufficient. Human beings are not independent creatures. We go through things in life where we need the help of other people. And just knowing how to bring someone into our world that we can count on in times of crisis, in times of need. It's not just purely manipulative, but it's for our mental health and our physical well-being. we should not completely isolate ourselves. We need to put a little effort into having some social contact, building a friend or two. That's not the same as building a huge network of, all kinds of people that you see on a regular basis or talk to on a regular basis or chat with on the computer on a regular basis. It doesn't have to be huge. There just has to be somebody out there. So even for that loner child, the one who's happy being alone, parents might provide a little guidance, which we'll look at shortly as to what kind of guidance parents can provide. But the parents definitely don't have to worry about a child who is self-sufficient in that way. Now, parents tend to worry about the kid who is complaining about loneliness. Loneliness is a very painful emotion. It's been shown that adolescents and adults with loneliness are really at a fairly high risk for depression, and even in some cases, suicide. Not to get dramatic here, but it's just that loneliness is such an intense pain that people sometimes cannot deal with it at all. It just hurts that badly. When a child is complaining, "Mommy, I have no friends, nobody likes me," it's definitely something that the parent wants to take seriously and intervene with, take steps to help the child with, so that whatever you can do, you will do. It's not totally in the parent's hands, because the child has to learn some skills and acquire some new tricks in order to be able to bring one or two people into his life. But one or two is the goal. You don't have to have, like I said, 10 or 12. The Torah itself says that if a person makes one good friend, that's a huge bonus. It's a very hard thing to do, to have one really good friend in life. So what the goal is to have one or maybe two people who you consider pretty good friends, and maybe a little circle of acquaintances around that. And that would be healthy enough for a person to survive well. So now sometimes the child is not actually coming and complaining about it out loud. He's just spending all his time alone and doesn't seem to know how to do anything differently. The parents might be suggesting, did you call so-and-so? Have you tried to make an arrangement for this Sunday? Did you, have you called the people in your class? And the child, either says, "Yes, I called, but everybody was busy," usually because the child calls at the last moment and he doesn't seem to really know what to do. Or if he's not calling at the last moment, he really doesn't know what to do during the week to build the kind of contact that would lead somebody to want to spend some time with him. Let's look at this problem sort of by age group here. Let's look at the little people, toddlers, preschoolers, kids under 6, who are having trouble making connections. The most common reason for little kids to have trouble making connections is really poor skills. Sometimes it's just temporary because the child developmentally hasn't achieved social maturity, let's say. So he fights and he pushes and maybe he bites and he's kind of unpleasant, scaring the other kids away from him. Maybe, that kind of rough and tough kid. Or the child maybe at the other extreme doesn't come forward, stays by himself, doesn't smile, doesn't connect with the social cues that we need to connect with. Or the child doesn't read other people's social cues, so doesn't really realize when somebody's trying to make a connection with her. Those are some of the common problems that little kids have. Now, there may be other reasons why a small child has difficulties, and some of these reasons persist as the child grows older. So, for example, children with ADD, ADHD, the attention deficit spectrum disorders, they often, not always, but often do have social skills problems which arise out of social perception difficulties, not reading social cues appropriately and not responding to social cues appropriately as a result. Some kids with learning disabilities have that same problem, and there are other developmental disorders that just sort of get in the way with a child's social perceptual skills. When a child is under 6, we don't really necessarily know why the child's having difficulty, but if a parent will watch a child at play, take that child into a group, let's say at a library program where there's a free time period, or you know, just a mother-child drop-in center, and just watch the child and see, well, what is that child doing around the other kids? Like, what are the other kids talking to each other? Is this child talking to each other? This is especially a useful activity if it's an ongoing group where the same kids meet week after week for, let's say, 6 weeks at a time, or 12 weeks, or even better, a year, so that, you know, the parent can come and see, what is your lonely child doing? Is he aggressive? Is he withdrawn? Is he sharing and not sharing? Probably not sharing. He's having a problem. So whatever you see and observe, you can then talk to your child about and do some role-playing at home and actually open up the subject of making friends. There are books on making friends that are suitable for this young group. You can go to the librarian and ask for some titles. And read the books to your child and discuss the skills, and then engage in role-playing with dolls, puppets, or you and the child, where you can show the child, well, here, you're playing with a truck, and let's say somebody else comes up and wants to grab the truck away from you. What should you do in that situation? Do you shove them down? do you push them away? Or is it possible to say, oh, here, you take this, I'll play with that, you know, and engage in something of a more, what we call, pro-social activity. Be more pleasant, be more flexible. So helping the child by observing, identifying, and teaching at this young age can be very, very good. But this child at this age may need even more help. For example, the child may need to be exposed to unstructured social activities a little bit more often than maybe some of the other kids. So whereas school itself is a social ground, the child may be not doing well at school in terms of building friendships. So arrange play dates for the younger child. Now, this is something that you won't be able to do as the child gets, you know, a little bit older. I'm not sure if you can do it up until the child is maybe 6 years old, but like a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, maybe 5-year-old, sometimes a 6-year-old, it gets really hard as the kids approach that 6-year mark. But the younger kids, arrange play dates for them and supervise the play date so that you're intervening where necessary. Maybe you have worked out a little signal with your child that identifies when he should switch gears, change a behavior that he's involved in. And you can model for the child sharing, you know, bring out the snacks, help the child to be a sharer by letting your child serve the snacks and give to everybody who's there. Have not just one friend over at a time, but have 2 or 3 friends over, and spend some of that time supervising, watching, and learning, seeing what's going on there, so that you can help your child build the skills that he needs. And I'm not saying that you have to spend 3 hours watching your child, but, you know, going in and out of the room, being there for 10 minutes at a time and just sort of watching and seeing what goes wrong, that would be really good. So arranging those play dates, taking a much more active role, and sometimes just signing a child up for a few different programs if you can, if you have sports programs or just other places, music programs, gym programs, wherever children are gathering, so that your child has plenty of social experience just being around other people and seeing what they're doing. But again, not completely just in the dark, that you want to observe those social experiences and talk about social skills with your child and teach social skills. Now, let's say the child is a little bit older, between 6 and 10 or 11 years old, and at that age is telling you that she is lacking friends or she has nobody to play with, or the teachers are telling you that while your child's doing really well in school, she's really not doing so well socially. So now you can't make play dates anymore, but what you can do is take out every book that there is in the library on social skills and read them with your child and talk to your child about what those skills mean. And again, role-playing and acting out scenarios and talking about problem scenarios and the difficulties that your child, the specific difficulties your child has at school, that she's willing to explain to you, and asking the teacher to keep her eye on specific problems that this child has. Like, is it, again, a problem of hanging back too much, or is it a problem of not responding properly to the other kids? You know, what is the teacher seeing? And get specific information if possible. Some of the problems that kids at that age, between the 6 and 10 year olds, tend to have is inflexibility, that a child who is bossy needs things his way, gets mad when other people won't do it his way. You know, we have to work with that child to learn to be willing to listen to other people's ideas and try out other people's plans, and just be much more flexible. So that's one skill that we might mention to a child and work with. Sometimes a kid at that age is just being negative, makes a lot of put-downs, is unpleasant. So we want to teach a child to that rule. You know, if you can't think of something nice to say, don't say it. To teach the child that positive people, people who talk nicely, are generally better received. Sometimes a child is not aware of the impact that they have, so they're out of touch with the rhythms around them. They may speak too loudly when other people are speaking more quietly. They might be just too rambunctious overall, too hyper, let's say. And the other kids might call the child hyper. So, you know, to teach a child, look at what's going on in the little group that you're approaching. Are they whispering? Are they quiet? Are they laughing loudly? Are they running about? You know, do whatever the group is doing, and so that you will fit in smoothly. Sometimes kids of this age don't realize that they're hogging the attention, they're monopolizing conversations. We want to teach them, be a good listener, you know, and respond when other people say something. Respond to what they said. So teaching kids to comment on other people's remarks and how to join in and segue into their own speech things. We can play certain games at the table even about that, you know, pick up the last thread, comment on it, and move on to a new topic, so that the child has some way to break into a group and to become part of that group. So, you know, some of these social skills are covered in books on social skills, which parents can take out of the library for themselves. You might ask a professional to help you design a list of social skills. And if the child is really having a lot of difficulty in this age group, there are professionally run social skills programs that you can take the child to, where the child can be taught a lot of skills like the ones that we're mentioning. Again, you might be able to do some role-playing with this age group as well. And a bonus for this age group is that there are social skills board games. Some of them are being produced specifically for places like the ADD Warehouse, which is a catalog of all kinds of materials for children with attention deficit disorders. But some of them will be found in specialty psychology shops. I'm sure you can just look them up on the internet. Social skills board games. And this way you can play, or the family can play, and there are specific things that we can learn. Because not everybody has great social skills naturally. They just sometimes kids have to learn them. And in this age group, you can still teach them. Let's go a little bit older. Let's say that we're talking now about an adolescent who is still very much a loner and for some reason hasn't made friends earlier and isn't making friends now. There are lots of different types of social activities, and rather than, you can look at books, you can look at individual counseling for this age group, you can still be talking about it. No, I'm not talking here about nagging. Get on the phone and call your friend. Like, that actually doesn't work very well with children who are 14 or 15 years old and reluctant to make those telephone calls. Having a parent harp on this in the background only adds more stress. So I wouldn't suggest doing that. Rather, if you feel the child's loneliness Or if the child expresses that his or her loneliness is a problem, some professional counseling for the child at this point might be helpful. Helping the child engage in other types of social ways of being. Like it's the peer group is one thing, but it's not the only thing. Sometimes if a child, an adolescent, can get involved in group activities, they just being with groups of people will break that feeling of social isolation. So, for example, where there's youth groups, being a member of a youth group, or even better, becoming a leader within a youth group. Now, I didn't mention with the 6 to 10-year-olds, but it applies to that group as well as to teenagers, that sometimes kids will be able to have friends who are a little bit younger than them. Don't discourage that, okay? It doesn't matter. I mean, when you get to be an adult, if you're 40 years old and you decide you want to be friends with your 30-year-old neighbor, like, there's no law against it, okay? And having a good friend is a good friend. So let your child choose, you know, their own friends, and don't say things like, oh, that kid's too young for you or whatever. Like, let that child choose kids a couple of years older, a couple of years younger, because it may be that that's what's right for your child at this time. I was just thinking about that. When I said that the child could be a youth leader, sometimes a youth leader makes very meaningful connections with the younger kids who are in the child's group. Or becoming active in religious activities, religious community, being part of a synagogue program, a political program, like activist kind of thing, a community activist organization, or something where there's people already there and there's activities to do and they're structured. Some of these volunteer activities as well, where your adolescent is able to be part of community, part of people, part of giving. And the more we give, the better social contacts we're going to have in a way, because givers always end up receiving appreciation and connection, you know, when they're doing something meaningful for others. Even having your adolescent, you know, become a really good babysitter who goes around, you know, to friends and neighbors in the community and helps with their children, so that your child is busy with people, even though those people aren't individual friends of the type that that the child actually really longs for. You want to expose your child to the idea that the world is full of people of different ages and people of different kinds, and yes, you should continue to reach out and learn the skills that will help you get a good friend. And there's a lot of skills involved in that. And at this point, at the point that the child's an adolescent, probably professional counseling would be the best way to pick up more of those skills now. And also bringing books home. Like there's lots of books for business people out there on how to make small talk, on how to build a social network. There's lots and lots of books. So just bring them home from the library and let them lie around the house, and your kids will pick things up and maybe pick up a new trick or two. It's just that when they're adolescents, you as a parent will not be able to do so much direct teaching. But now you're encouraging the child to engage in activities that she enjoys, like her hobbies and her, whatever spare time activities that she's developing, but also to get out there and be in the world, so that isolation doesn't become a way of life. You know, you don't want to, it's not an all or nothing world out there for us. Keep in mind also your model. Are you being busy with people? Do you make telephone calls? Do you have people come over to your house, and do you share what you have with them and talk to them and open up to them? You know, your children will benefit from seeing you and your spouse actively involved in social relationships. And your acceptance of your child's personality, that is, whether your child is a person who doesn't have a lot of friends, or whether your child is a person who has friends, whatever it is, if you can be accepting of your child and make that child feel like your child is good and whole and healthy, and there's nothing wrong with him or her, that will help. I mean, the child, him or herself, might feel that there's something wrong. That's different. We don't want that feeling being projected from the parent. So just making your kid feel that they're great for who they are and not harping on their social life, that's also going to be important. So those are some of the things that we can do to help our kids. And, you know, in the end, we have to remember that our child is on his own journey and that he'll have to work most of this out for himself in his life. But most kids grow up, they actually end up with a spouse most frequently, and they make their own family, and they are busy in family relationships. Keep in mind that adults may have large networks of friends, but more commonly don't, because the pressures of work and family take every waking minute. And as long as they're able to have some close relationships, you know, a relationship with a spouse, a relationship with one's children and nuclear family members and all this stuff, that's sufficient. It's sufficient for almost everybody. So don't pressure your child to become a socialite. It's not really going to be the life of most grown-ups anyways. All right, so go home and have fun with your family.